And welcome everyone to Citizens Climate University. We also have the wonderful Eve Simmons on. Eve is a decades-long environmental advocate, keynote speaker, green blogger, and San Diego Fish and Wildlife Advisory Commissioner, as well as a tireless optimist. She's lectured throughout Southern California and serves as a congressional and Senate liaison for Citizens Climate Lobby. And she's really hoping tonight, as well as with all of her presentations, to impart knowledge for the world's top scientists and institutions with humor, solutions, and hope for a sustainable environment. Thanks so much for being on the call as well, Eve. We're so honored to have you.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Hello. Nice to be here. Brett, thank you so much for the invitation and everybody for spending your evening with us. So got a lot to cover, so let's get this party started. Let's see. We're going to cover a lot tonight. Media background, the timing of your opportunities for maximum impact, how to engage your media story examples, what to remember, and last, we'll finish it up with Q&A. Your learning goals, our learning goals. Hopefully, by the end of this next 20-30 minutes, you'll understand the role of the media within the larger frame of climate change communication. You'll be able to articulate that importance of framing and climate impacts in terms of time and place. And you'll be able to engage your local and national media outlets to highlight stories of climate impacts. I loved what Rick brought up about going to locations where there'll be events possibly with weather broadcasters or others. I think it's a great idea. So a little bit about my background. I've been at this for 30 years. I've been talking about the greenhouse effect as a wildlife guide for the San Diego Zoo, decades ago. And I also worked for Associated Press as a photojournalist and photographer and photo editor. So I have been on the other side of that desk taking phone calls and deciding whether to send a crew out to cover it. So I have a little bit of understanding that I hope will help us towards that effect. Like many of you probably, I had the privilege of studying with Al Gore. Such a joy, so much fun, 3 days of talking and listening and learning. There were 1,000 of us from 68 countries. And what I tended to hear again and again from anybody outside the US was, what the heck, America? Why don't you guys know what's going on? Here's a reason. Because only a handful of corporations really own all our media. So I'm talking about radio, TV, movies, not just news and weather. And those corporations tend to be invested in fossil fuel. That's part of the reason. Their advertising revenue also dictates content. And again, quite often we are enmeshed in a lot of fossil fuel, and that has to do with it. Also, media will tend to err on the side of least controversy. And there is a very vociferous side of climate deniers who can be very active and vocal about contacting the media. So we're going to have a loving, joyful version of that to sort of counteract that effect or work it in a positive way. The term media, as you probably know, it's derived from an intermediary between the people and their government. Sound kind of like CCL? The fourth estate, of course, this is so important as a part of our checks and balances. So we want to utilize that. The challenge is the depth of the crisis is still not perceptible to the wider public. And so says Dr. Ramanathan. We're lucky to have him so nearby at Scripps Institute here in San Diego. But he has counseled the last three popes on this. He knows what he's talking about. And he says the actions we need to take are so drastic, no leader in the world has the support to take these actions. So we kind of want to help with that. So here's something I know Madeline Pear will often say when I feel overwhelmed. She'll say to all of us, you know, it seems like I'm overwhelmed. Here's a good antidote. I won't allow the things I can't control or change to stop me from taking action on the things I can change. And here's something we can change. Why does it matter? Because more people watch the news than read the news. And because this builds public will for a livable world. CCL is spectacular at corralling print media. And I want to see us take those same skills and use that opportunity, that low-hanging fruit, and get a lot of bang for our buck with broadcast media. This is my dog, Gershwin. I show him because when I give my talks, I'll tell my audiences, I'm not talking about what's going to happen in 2100. I'm talking about something in your dog's lifetime, about the time it takes to get a table at Cheesecake Factory. So that really hits home, and it certainly hits home when you're talking about news media. Connecting to relevant local effects is really effective, especially with local broadcasters. I took this for my iPhone in my local supermarket, and that is something good to connect the dots. It's an opportunity to connect with your media. And of course, the huge national stories like Superstorm Sandy that happened in 2012. So Lower Manhattan had a sea level that was 25 feet above normal. Of course, the infrastructure fried. And it was crazy because I saw CNN talking about this 24/7, and they weren't talking about climate change. There they were saying, you know, we're at ground zero and blah, blah, blah. They had amazing coverage, but nothing about climate change. I said, I want to change this. So I got on the phone and I called the CNN breaking news hotline. It was a different number than it is now, but there's that one. This will be available later too. I love the internet. It gives you so many sources. So I called them. I was able to speak with an editor at the desk. I said, I love your coverage. Thank you so much. You guys are doing a great job of covering this huge story. Can you speak to the links between what's happening right now and climate change? Long pause. And I said, okay, I'd like you to know that the American and World Meteorological Societies have statements on this, as does the Pentagon and Department of Defense. They said, oh, really? Oh, okay. And I said, please do this. I know it would mean a lot to people. Thank you so much. Click. End of story. So when something happens that you feel may be tied in to climate issues, call or text a news desk, ask them to link current or breaking news events to climate change, or if we're lucky, to carbon fee and dividend, or just the idea of pricing carbon. Use statements from authoritative, respected sources that gives you credibility. It also helps them have their back with their bosses or their audience. Be short and grateful. Employ an economy of words. This is really important because these people are so busy. And as soon as you've contacted the editor or reporter, this is the magic bullet. Send out that message to your contacts, asking them to do the same. So when you get off the phone, you or the email or whatever, how you've communicated with your source, your news source, then you let all your green friends like us know and ask them to contact theirs. And then you get this. Because when I did that, I watched CNN. I continued to monitor it. Within an hour, they started talking about climate change, and they hadn't spoken a word about it. They started bringing in experts, they interviewed. It works. It's so amazing. And if we're all doing this on a regular basis, imagine the impact. So here's one way to get a hold of ways to contact your media. FAIR.org is great. It's Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. They have a killer list. There are others too. Some you may find are out of date when you go on the internet, but pretty soon you'll find it. You can also Facebook these people, tweet them, romance them when you can. And so think about anchors and correspondents. Think about things like economics too, like for instance, Kai Rizdal on NPR Marketplace, your weather people, human interest stories like Steve Hartman on 60 or on ABC or pardon me, CBS. So here's just some ideas. 60 Minutes, HBO's Vice News and Vice, spectacular content there. All the normal, usual characters that you'd expect. MSNBC, Fox News, oh yeah, definitely. Local anchors and reporters. I'm going to play a short clip. I've got two of them, actually. Here's one from CBS News covering climate change without saying climate change. This is can be a bit frustrating. Here we go. It's about 2 minutes.
The storms are rolling again through Texas. Tonight, they are hoping it is not the hail they have been through already. Here's Omar Villafranca. The hail looked like torpedoes being shot into this backyard pool in Wiley, Texas. And in surrounding homes, balls of ice being blown by 70-mile-an-hour winds smashed through windows, leaving entire neighborhoods looking like this. Tim Taylor couldn't believe the damage to his home.
That's more glass falling.
Cars in parking lots and driveways took a pounding, too. Jamie Doggett's new truck now needs a back window.
It was scary. It was definitely intense for a while.
Baseball-sized hail forced Stephanie Maya to ride out the storm with her four kids inside this closet.
Normally for storms, we grab the helmets for the kids and we grab shoes for everyone, but we didn't have time to do that.
Since January, there have been 188 hailstorms across Texas, compared to 82 last year. 30 of this year's storms have produced hail 2 inches or larger. A March 16th storm caused $600 million in damage. 7 days later, hail caused $700 million in damage. Meteorologist Tom Bradshaw.
As we go into the latter half of April and certainly May, we can very well see additional storms on this scale.
Bradshaw says it's just been an unlucky year. For the last month, over Texas, there has been a perfect mix of moist air and instability in the atmosphere, keeping the hail suspended in the clouds for a longer period of time, allowing them to grow larger before falling.
This is really, really unusual.
Yeah. So this might drive you crazy, but say it, please, please, please say it. And they don't. So let's see if we can get to the next one, if this will work. I have to pull it out. There we go. And here's something you're going to love.
We joined up with Tom Boatner, who, after 30 years on the fire line, became chief of fire operations for the federal government.
A fire of this size and this intensity in this country would have been extremely rare 15, 20 years ago. They're commonplace these days.
10 years ago, a big fire was what?
10 years ago, if you had a 100,000-acre fire, you were talking about a huge fire. And if we had one or two of those a year, that was probably unusual. Now, we talk about 200,000-acre fires like it's just another day at the office. It's been a huge change.
You know what? It's hotter than hell right here.
It's getting pretty damn hot.
Whoa. It is amazing.
So you can imagine the challenge for young men and women with hand tools like this to come up here and try to put out a fire like this.
We wondered whether Boatner thought one of the factors might be climate change.
You know, there are a lot of people who don't believe in climate change.
You won't find them on the fire line in the American West anymore, because we've had climate change beat into us over the last 10 or 15 years. We know what we're seeing, and we're dealing with a period of climate in terms of temperature and humidity and drought that's different than anything people have seen in our lifetimes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was amazing. And so when something like that happens, what do? We contact them and we thank them for their coverage of that story. And that will help to get more like it. So that's a really, really important thing to do. This is just really a CCO playbook, totally. Here's an idea. On February 5th every year, National Weather Person's Day. So you can start wooing your weather person even now, and maybe even bring in some cookies or something, your local people, but and national as well. So there's a good opportunity for starters. Now we're going to go to the quintessential citizens climate lobbyist, of course. I'm talking about the one and only Jay Butera, who I love and adore and am so appreciative to him. He can work it like nobody else. And we're going to take a page from his playbook, a little something that I like to call Buterarizing. We're not terrorizing, we are Buterarizing. And here's how it works. Basically, we are wooing. We're a little bit geisha. We are wooing with integrity and appreciation, our broadcasters. We're also coming not only with respect for them, but we treat they can treat us respectfully. We are intelligent, well-informed, brief, and appreciative. So we're those two things and one more. We're part Paul Revere. I once in a while am called an alarmist if I get a rough crowd, and I say, you bet, just like Paul Revere. So we are quick, clear, we're delivering an important message that is helpful to them. So we are valuable to these people, and that's important to remember as well. Cite respected sources. That's your key to the kingdom, boy. They will listen to you then. Sam Locklear, commander in the Pacific, says climate change is the biggest threat to long-term security. That will wake them up, remind them. The DOD, Department of Defense, the Pentagon all say that climate change is a huge threat multiplier for instability. That's something you can source. You can use headlines like this summer's 43 American Airlines flights out of Phoenix were canceled because it was too hot to fly. That was a huge thing. If you're sensing that this person listening to you has time for a little more, then you can add tidbits. In this case, like according to British scientists and the FAA, turbulence will be stronger and occur more often because carbon dioxide emissions are heating up the atmosphere. You can make use of official announcements, like when NOAA said that nuisance flooding has increased in the U.S. 300 to 925% since the 1960s. That's definitely an eye-catcher. You can highlight water impacts. Two-thirds of the world's population are likely to live under water stress conditions in a handful of years. Also, the world will have 40% less fresh water than it needs in 15 years. So you're talking about Credit Suisse and the UN World Water Assessment Program. So these are major accredited sources. You can share wildlife impacts, like the Center for Biological Diversity saying that half of Earth's animal and plant species are projected to be extinct by 2050 if current greenhouse gas emissions continue, or that two-thirds of wildlife that existed in 1970 are going to be gone soon, very soon. That's from the World Wildlife Fund. It can be very good news, too. International example, my boyfriend, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, when he announced just recently that Canada was going to go to carbon pricing next year, tremendous. Or that China is going to carbon pricing by next year as well. Or that the International Energy Agency director says it's time to price carbon. They've actually been touting it for over 20 years. These are all great things to use. Oil industry supporting a major price, or majors supporting a price on carbon. Wall Street Journal reported that Exxon is lobbying for a carbon tax, as are the others. Here's another opportunity. Have some juicy stuff on the sideline that may not be time sensitive, but really useful. So when it's a slow news day, seize that. Carpe diem, that's the perfect time when they're looking for stories, something interesting, something different, perfect time to reach out to your news people. And don't forget about deadlines, especially for those of us on the West Coast. So important. these news people have to contact and interview their sources. They have to get their OKs of their editor. They have to get a news crew out there. All those things mean, as soon as you think of this, get a hold of them. It really is a quick thing. So keep calm and make those phone calls or send emails or letters, Facebook, text, tweet, whatever you can. No restraining orders, please. But short of that, you can accomplish a lot. Please handle our media just like we do with our members of Congress, with kid gloves of kindness. That respect and admiration goes a long, long way. Before you quit and say, I give up, try everything first. Like the 8-year-old double hand transplant recipient, Zion Harvey, who is such a sweet little inspiration. And speaking of inspiration, you guys are, as Sam Dean Daly Harris, who really created the template for Citizens Climate Lobby for Marshall and Mark to mold our the way we operate with. It's so beautiful. It is the Harvard of citizen activism. You guys matter. What you do makes a difference in this world. So please feel proud and congratulate yourself. It really does matter. This is our home. Shouldn't we try? Visualize a healthy planet. I always think that's important and helpful. Puts us in a positive place too. And lastly, save the Earth. It's the only planet with chocolate. Thank you.
All right. Bravo, bravo, Eve. We will go into question mode again, and I think you've just blown us all away with the depth of the content at the same time. Thank you so much. And we've got the contact information for Rick and Eve. I just put in the chat window too. And so after tonight, both of them have been very generous in offering their availability. I don't know about you, but I am leaving inspired and also aware of how to really use this information in a much more clear way. And I can't thank both of them enough for giving of their time. So with that, I'll unmute all lines. And we're just so grateful for everyone giving of their evening. And please feel free to sign off or stay on as long as you'd like, everyone. Have a great evening.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Chris.
Good night.
Thank you all.